and Father, as individuals of belonging to that community. We ask, Father, that our spirits would be open, our minds would be open to hear, Father, the word that's spoken today, and to grasp, Father, the incredible calling that is on each and every person that's in this assembly. Not just today, Father, but that are called to join with us and be part of this community. Father, the value that you have on each of us is just absolutely amazing. You do not value one person more highly than another. You do not respect them on that basis of their education. You do not respect them on the basis of their wealth. But you do respect, Father, and Father, you pay attention to their faith, the faith they have in you. Because you work your power towards those who believe. And yet, Father, from the least to the greatest, each and every one of us is in your hand. And if you are mindful of the raven and the sparrow, as you have said, Lord Jesus, how much more does our Heavenly Father care about us? So today, Father, just draw us closer to you. Bring us, Father, into an understanding of the things that we share today. And, Father, that we would see ourselves as a part of what you're doing in the world today. This world, Lord, needs you more than it ever has in the past. And we're praying, Father, that we would see that, and that the greatest thing that we have, the greatest gift we have to share, the greatest blessing that we can bring to anyone is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. And Father, that also that we would see that the thing that we have to do is to let Christ take us as we were a lump of clay and put our hands and our trust in the potter's hand, that he might mold us and make us into that person that he has called us to be. And we just ask you, Father, to let us be comfortable with trusting you to do just that. We're not here, Father, to tell you what to do, what we want, when we want it, or how you should run this universe, Father, or this planet for that matter. I know you're not running the planet, Father, but you're watching and you're in it. And Father, it's all in your plan, but it's in your care. And what looks to us sometimes as confusion is not confusion, Father. It's a shaking. It's a moving of things to move them closer to your determined, predetermined purpose. And we just thank you for that this morning and give us insight into those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday. I wish you'd come a little bit closer to me, Conrad and Dolly, and we'll figure it out. But nonetheless, one of the things that we wanted to do with you this morning was introduce to you at least our senior leadership in the church, and that would be Conrad and Dolly. Would you come forward, please? I'd like to have you guys up here. And Brian and Karen Sterling are not with us, but these are the two senior elders. Please come up here, and their wives, because how would I put it? Anybody knows that if you're married and you have a partnership, a fellowship with your wife, that the truth of the matter is that both of you are always engaged in what we're doing. And I want to thank both you and Brian and Karen. And also in the back row there, although he would not admit it or own up to it or anything else, we have Tom and Clarine Chamberlain. And Tom is not officially an elder, but he is treated by all of us who are elders as an elder emeritus. In other words, we value him highly. He's here. He's one of the founders of this church. Could you stand up, please, Tom and Clarine, so that people know who you are? Thank you. And we have many other leaders in this church that are leading in various ministries and areas. We will not identify all of you today, but I would say to you that in the very near future, from amongst our Livingstone group leaders and others in the church, we will be developing another team. We do have that team right now. We call it our leadership team. And so we get input from all of these different people as we work together to walk in the vision that God has called us. So please sit down. You're fine to do that. Dolly was one of our teachers at the Sunshine Inn. She has an incredible ministry in evangelism. With Conrad, you know he's an excellent teacher and preacher, one of our best, better than me, as the way I look at it. He stays on track, and I don't. I'm a little bit more, inspirational, which means that I wander, another way of putting it that way. So, but anyway, between both of us, he's led by the Spirit, and I've seen him work in the gifts of healing and miracles and all kinds of other things. All of our elders have done that. So we're blessed to have the team, and not just elders, but other people in the church, and that's what we want to get to this morning. So let me try to move this along as fast as I can before I get in trouble. So every year we try to have a Vision Sunday. Usually it's the first Sunday in January. But I want to talk about the importance of vision for just a moment. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law." Now, if you look at that little verse, at first you look at that unrestrained. It means this. It means that we wander. We go about. We wind up in places that we didn't mean to be, or where God didn't want us to go. We can get into trouble. And I like the way the second part of that verse is, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. And basically what you see there is that God has given a structure for us. And what he's saying is the person that stays within his structure, within his will, that person's going to be happy. And the rest of us are going to go through life like a person who gets in his car on a Sunday and doesn't know where he's headed, but just drives and burns up a tank of gas. You may come across some interesting things, but you had no destination in mind. You had no people that you were going to meet in mind, and you had no purpose. Now, that's what happens when you do not have a vision. You wander. Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets, put it this way. "Then the Lord answered me and said," so basically he was saying this, "What shall I do? I'll stand on the ramparts and I'll watch and I'll see what the Lord will say to me and then I'll write it down." And he says this, then the Lord answered me and said, "Record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that no one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, it hastens towards the goal, it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay." In our humanity, as I said to one brother this morning, you know, things never move fast enough for me in life. One of the things that I notice is the clock keeps going. Each year, I'm setting a new calendar for the following year, the next year to come. And I know what God's called us to do, me to do, and yet it doesn't hurry up. And the thing is, God, I don't know, time is always on God's side. But Habakkuk is correct. The vision won't fail. The purpose God has for his church, the purpose God has for you, that may fail because you have to cooperate with him in it. And it's the same with this vision. It will not fail. But one thing I'll say about the vision of God, and this is something we ought to always remember, that vision will be carried out. God's purpose will be carried out. The question that we have, each of us today, as we listen to and begin to look into the vision for the church, is this. Will I be a part of it? Will I fulfill the purpose God has for me and my life? Because my experience has been, and church history is the proof of it, that when God starts to do something and people get stuck in their denominational ruts or in their preconceived ideas and plans, God will raise up another people to accomplish his vision. And we don't want that to happen to us. We want to be the people that are following God and found faithful when he comes. And that's a choice that you all have to make, each and every one of you. So vision's important to our spiritual community. and for every disciple of Christ that is committed to follow the Lord. And as a member of this spiritual community, we walk together in the vision God has given to us and in our own calling. See, that's the important thing you have to understand, is that even though God gives a vision to a church and to a people, and by the way, this vision is much bigger than Amherst Christian Church. There is a worldwide, what shall I say, calling on the church today to change the church from the inside out. Because the church as it exists doesn't work anymore. It's something that we've kind of just shaped in and carried on from generation to generation. It kind of just evolved. And we fool ourselves and they say, well, that was the early church. It was a fundamental church. When I say fundamental, it was immature. The truth of the matter is the church today is far more immature than the early church that we read about in the Bible. They may have had their problems, but they had life and they had power and they had a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to come back and realize that men paint things differently in order to make them okay. We all want to be okay. But being okay doesn't mean that we're being honest. So your personal calling, that's what we want you to operate in. We want you to be happy. We want you to find the gifting that God has given you, and we want you to function in it. And quite frankly, whatever your gifting is and your combined giftings, that will shape our church. That's what our church is. Our church is comprised of individuals with gifts, and then that's where your leadership comes in. We let everything kind of work together, so it's not like we assign you to tasks here and there. We have a Sunday service. We need to have certain things that happens on Sunday. But other than that, basically what we need is you to do what God's called you to do, and we do it together with support, prayer, etc., and encouragement. So again, every child of God, every one of you who has come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, every one of you who has been truly born again of the Spirit of God, and has the seal of God on you, you know that it's not something that you believe. It's something that you've known, that you've experienced. You've had something happen inside of you that made you a different person. And it may have started with an intellectual look at the gospel or Jesus Christ, but something has to happen. It has to be born again. It's a spiritual thing. We're not confined to the box that people confined on in this natural earth. We have a God that created this earth. And so we're not confined to just the things he created. We're basically allowed to communicate with and enjoy the creator of all things. So we have a much broader perspective of the world, the universe, and everything else than the person that is just scientifically looking at it from one aspect. The vision basically, as I say this, every child of God is born again by the Spirit. And the vision for this church was also given by God. Just as you were born again, so this church was called into existence. Not because I had a great idea or somebody else said you ought to do this. And even if they did and I did that, that wasn't the reason for it. It's because God had a purpose for it. And I want to talk to you about something that happened back in 1978. I believe it was June of 1978. On that morning, I found myself, I don't know if I was awake, I don't know if I was sleeping, but I found myself, you might say, in a vision, in a trance, so to speak. And suddenly there appeared before me a stone. It looked like a tablet. I got it rounded off in here, but it just was a tablet of a stone. And words began to appear on the tablet, and I said, "What is this?" And a voice spoke and said, "Watch." And as I watched, this word body was the first thing that formed on the church. I immediately knew that it was not speaking about a body in the grave, but it was speaking about the body of Christ, a church of people. We call it the body of Christ. That's what Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 12. Then these other words appeared going up. Word, ministry, Jesus. And as I watched that and watched this, suddenly the ministry went off the stone. It went off. And the next thing that happened was the body followed it quickly, zipped right off after it. And I said, Lord, what's that? And he said, this is a church. And the ministry in this church has placed itself above the word. And this ministry goes off, wanders from me. The church will follow it. The people will follow it. Then another stone appeared on the right-hand side. And I said, Lord, what's this? He said, watch. And I watched. And again, the word body. And then the order of words changed. The ministry came. The word came. And then Jesus at the top. And as I watched, suddenly the ministry zipped off. I said, oh, no, God. This ministry's not going to go off too. And then the word said, watch. And as I watched, what happened was the body followed the word and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, more would happen in this vision, and I'll explain it to you. The first church was built by man, and man exalting himself. Think about it. Today we have in the churches, you have clergy and you have laity. No such distinction was made in the Word of God. You are the ministers of Christ. We'll get to that. But man made that division. So you have to come to man to get God, so to speak. And some churches even proclaim that they are the way to salvation. They're not. There's only one Savior, my friends. His name is Jesus. Amen. It's that simple. And all of us are responsible to bring men to Him, not to ourselves. Now, the next thing that happened here was I said to the Lord, is this ministry going to go off too? And He said to me, because this ministry has preached the Word of God, if it did go, if it went off, the people would follow my son, would follow me, and they would not follow man. Now, I never gave a whole lot of thought to that because it turned out that the church that I was in, I shared that vision with that church on that Sunday morning that I received this vision. And I didn't realize it, but the pastors in the church seemed very unhappy. Little did I know that they were constructing a particular era. And before you know it, in came this false teaching of the Logos Rhema. And the only one that had the Rhema, that was the Word of God, was the pastor. So basically, if you didn't follow the pastor, then you weren't following the Word, because he had this Word from God and you didn't have it. And hundreds of people were messed up with this. Brother Conrad Tom were in that church with me, and another young man by the name of Fenton Johnson, who's since gone to be with the Lord. And I will tell you that it was a very difficult time, and I did nothing to draw anybody out of that church, nor did I intend to even start a church. But that's how this thing went. Then the Lord further went down and showed me this, that the one church was built by the Spirit of God, the second church was on man. Both of them had all of this fruit under it. And I said, but Lord, they both have fruit. And He said, no, one is plastic fruit, the one by man. He says, it looks like fruit. Everybody's hanging out. Everybody's enjoying one another. He said, but the other one is the fruit of the Spirit. And He said, that fruit, when tested, will stand. The other will melt. What I never realized until last night, if you can believe this, but it's true. As I looked at this last night for the first time, I realized that what God is doing in the earth today is what He was basically depicting back in 1978. And what is it? Notice what happens is, if you take the ministry out, now God's not going to do that, but if you take the ministry out from the church on the right, what do you have? You still have the church. We have you. You're there. You're ministering. You're still following Christ. The church doesn't rest on the ministry. The church rests in Jesus Christ, and it rests in His Word. So basically, what we have is that in that very simple thing that happened to me, and I never looked at it that way before, I didn't realize that even without the ministry, which is helpful to the church if it's a good ministry, good, that is the fivefold ministry, the gifts of the Spirit, all of these various things, those are important and necessary. But my point is that men, if certain men went astray, God would still have his church and it would function as he called it to function. So I wanted to share that with you this morning. Now I want to show you a church without walls. And that's what would happen. In time, we would come to see this church as a church without walls that basically was networking, that was bringing Christ to the community and the world. That too was given to us in a vision. And it wasn't my vision. I had the vision. I thought, what is this? And just, I've shared it many times. No walls on the church. People as far as we could see it. Up the hill that way, as far as we could look, there were people. And three other people within 1 week had the same vision within 10 days. And they all came to me. And they said, Pastor Ron, we need to build the building bigger. We were packed in here. We need to build the building bigger. And I said, no. I said, no, that's not what God's saying. It's something else. We don't need a bigger building. We need something else. But I didn't know what it was. And sometimes it takes a while for us men to, because we're so used to the routine we're in and what church is and what we're doing, it takes a while for the Lord to get through to us. And all I could say was, no, we don't need to build a bigger building, but we need to do something else with what I don't know. So, again, the thing is, the very nature of the church is relational. And when you take a look at this church without walls on that big screen, one of the things that you find is this, that basically the way this church works is very much like the church at Ephesus. In other words, our vision is to see a church built according to the book of Ephesians, and specifically the process in the Ephesians chapter 4. That's what our vision really is when you come down to it. But the very nature of this church is relational. People are made for relationships with God. He created us to have a relationship with him. He created women to have a relationship with the man with the woman. The fact is, mankind was created to have a relationship with God. God, we sang that song. What a beautiful song it was. You know, he didn't want to have heaven without us, so he brought heaven down. I want you to think about that for a moment. That's exactly what happened. We are the creation. Our Lord Jesus Christ created us to have fellowship with us, and men fell away from him. And he, for all of the centuries, from the Garden of Eden forward, he labored to bring them men back, men and women, back to relationship with him so they could spend eternity with him, fellowship here on the earth, and eternity with him in heaven. So we cannot say if it's a relational church that we love God and we hate our fellow man. The Apostle John says that in 1 John. And we cannot serve God without serving others. Thus the two great commandments, and which came to Jesus, or I shouldn't say came to Jesus, but was asked by the scribe. Teacher, the scribe said, the lawyer said, which is the great commandment of the law? What's the big one? What's the big commandment? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. But then Jesus gave a new commandment. And that new commandment was incorporated actually the two great commandments of the law. When you think about it, the new commandment incorporates the two great commandments of the law. Therefore, it encompasses the whole law and the prophets. What was the commandment that Jesus gave? John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, basically gave up his throne in obedience to the Father to redeem us. So we have complete love for the Father and obedience to the Father, even to death on the cross. And now we have that love also for man. all summed up in that commandment. So if a person or a word you can see the least that is required of any Christian is that they meet the irreducible core, which is to love God, love their fellow man, and make a disciple. That's the least that you can find in it, to reach out to somebody else and build a relationship with them and basically share Christ with them and lead them to Christ. Now, let's take a look at the hard reality of life here in New Hampshire. This is Sunday morning in New Hampshire, right now. This is what's happening across New Hampshire. Up there are 100 little circles. See those circles? 100 of them. Now, in the right-hand corner, bottom, there are what? Four red circles. I'm being generous. There are 3.5% of the Christian of people in New Hampshire have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. And every Sunday morning, we gather together and then we go out. So that's the church on Sunday morning. The second slide here is the church without walls in New Hampshire. And that's where you go on Sunday morning, to your place of business, into your neighborhood, to your neighbor's house, to the grocery store, wherever you're going. That's where Christ goes in you. So you see how this thing works. It's you bringing Christ into the world. If you don't do that, it doesn't happen. And even if I had time, we don't have time, I'm running out of time right now. If we had more time, I could prove to you that even some of the ministries that we have, where you have multiple people doing certain things, even reduces that more instead of increasing it. But if it's individuals, we have a maximum effect where we can now be the salt and the light in the world. And that means we have to change. We have to have a new boldness. We have to be a new people. So our mission, as John put it, do you come up here now or we're going to do this okay? Our mission. So what do you say you do here? What do you do for the kingdom? What's your gift? What are you doing out there? Because the church is beyond these walls. We're here getting encouraged today, getting blessed. But what do you do here? What do you do in New Hampshire? What do you do with your life? Do you have Christ integrated into that so that he's a part of the fabric of your being and what you're doing? Or you just show up on Sunday? Got a lot of people showing up on Sunday. That doesn't, and by the way, that's where the 3% is being counted. And that's where they leave it. They leave it in church on Sunday. Not what we're called to do. We got to bring it out from here. So what do we do here at Amherst Christian Church? We make disciples by encouraging believers to engage in. How do we do this? Well, there's a number of ways, but just to put it very simply, a disciple is a committed follower of Christ. It's that simple. If you're committed and you're a follower of Christ, then you're a committed follower of Christ. If you're in a marriage and you're committed in that marriage, then you're in that house, then you're participating in it, then you're communicating in it. You're basically in a relationship. So they're in a deeper relationship with Christ. So we have, through the grace of God, over the last 9 years, experimented with a number of processes, basically known as the disciplines of the Holy Spirit, to find ways and develop a process by which we can help you connect with God the way God has wired you so that God can do the transformational work inside of you so that Christ can be formed in you and you can that process can be speeded up so you don't have to wait around here 70 years, 80 years to grow up and stop being a baby. But baby, that you can grow up quickly, more quickly in Christ. And that's what he's doing throughout the world. We call it a reformation. There's actually a new reformation taking place across this entire world. It's not a movement as such that it's governed by men or being organized by men, but it is a movement of the Spirit of the living God where God is reshaping his church and bringing it to what it was always supposed to be and not copying and trying to massage a model that was made by men. So at ACC, we want our members of the congregation, we want you to see yourselves as ministers of Christ. That's what the Bible says you are. We strongly encourage every person to make a sincere, intentional effort to grow in the fullness of Christ, into that fullness, to see Christ formed in them and to exercise their God-given gifts in and outside the walls of the building. God calls and guides us by His Word and the Holy Spirit, through the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word. And if you're not presently walking with God, or you're not sure how to learn how to do this, we're here to teach you that. We're here to show you this. This is just another building of missional community, just another slide that we threw up here. And you get the idea. There's the church going outward into the world. It's a family to family, nation, you know, workplace, marketplace, wherever you might go. That's networking Christ to the world. That's what we're called to do. So let's talk about the vision for ACC just a little bit more. Recently, we had Eugene May, a prophet, internationally recognized as a prophet in here, and been very, very accurate. I have to say that. I hear people telling me all the time various prophecies that were made over them and how they've come about over the years. And he said this about our church. This is a plan that I have established. And that plan is to cause this house to be an apostolic house. That means a sent forth house. To cause this house to be a house out of which I will send people to do the work of God in the nations of the world. Now that might be a little bit beyond me right now, but I can see that we've had stuff out to the nations already. You say, well, this is a house that in many ways is still being built. And yes, it is. But I tell you, what God showed me yesterday and last night was that this house is going to be filled with people, that you will then be able to take those that are called and send them to the nations, to send them to cities, to send them to places, because this is an apostolic house. The vision of this house has been that from the beginning. That was another thing that just hit me as I'm reading it on that first slide that I showed you about the two churches. That from the beginning, that was the calling on this house. That was the calling on my life and the men that God put together here. But basically what he's doing right now, he's bringing people into position. It's part of his plan. And that was given by Brother Eugene May. And again, I want to just say as we move on here to missional outreach opportunities here, if we do not walk with God in the obedience of faith towards the vision he's given us, the vision will not fail. But God will raise up a people who will be faithful to his calling and his purpose. He always has. And he always will. God's plan will be fulfilled. People will be left behind. You see, we can offer all of these things that we're offering. Everything that we're doing intentionally is designed to help you grow in God and grow in your relationship with one another. That's the main focus of all of the different courses that we run. Get you healthy. Get you basically grounded in the Word, grounded in God, and basically knowing how to communicate that and love one another. That's what we do. So basically, as I would say this, we're going to bring up John Lucia, who is going to take over from this particular point right now.
Good morning. As Pastor was just talking about how this is an apostolic house. It is a house where the people are then sent forth, which stems from the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. It can also be interpreted as you go. We have to adjust our mindset from always putting a distance on it, that we have to travel to a far-off land in order to achieve what Christ has called us to do. So, with that, it's about now wrapping our minds around, as Pastor was saying, being involved into the community, the places where we live, where we work, and where we play. So I was having a conversation, and the question came up, how do you figure, Amherst Christian Church, are a church without walls? I mean, it's in the slides, it's in the slogan. How are you networking Christ to the community? So what we're going to do right now in the next few slides is go through some of the outreach opportunities, the missional outreach opportunities. And the missional mindset is exactly that. It's taken away from the distance piece of traveling to now adopting a as I go, everywhere I go, dealing and bringing Christ to the people that the Lord puts in front of you in your life today, right now, wherever that is. So first we're going to start with one that most people are probably more familiar with, and that's share. So up on the screen, you can see this is 2017 totals, what they were able to donate and contribute to, the number of families, number of clothing, food, and all that was donated. Their vision is it's people helping people. Now, we have been a part of that. Amherst Christian Church has. That is outreaching to the community. And yes, it has been up to this point some financial and some, you know, donating of food, bringing it in. There's a basket out in the lobby. But it can be more. We can make it and turn it into something more. We can host dinners. There are multiple opportunities. We need to also think outside the box. It's a relational aspect. That's what this whole thing, that's what the missional mindset is. It's about relationships. So yes, up to this point, yes, we have been donating. And as we continue, there is also New Life Homes. Now, some of you may or may not be familiar with this, but this is, we have been serving. Amherst Christian Church has been serving with New Life Homes, which their goal is to save lives and empower women. Now, these are people that come from all walks of life. Some have dealt and are in need of deliverance, which is one of the things that we're called to do in Isaiah 61, right? Set the captives free. Break the chains. Proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Show them that there's hope. So New Life Homes has just this year opened up their third home to help women and children. Exactly that. Overcome substance abuse issues, bad homes, bad relationships, to get their lives back on track, both naturally but also spiritually. There's prayer and there's ministry. They have meals, friendship. There's counseling that's provided. There are numerous opportunities there as well. And we can also be involved with that, helping people through a faith-based, women and children, through a faith-based approach, overcome addiction. And they've even gone so far, and part of their ministry is to reconnect mothers that as a result of substance abuse issues and the environments that they had, have, you know, had their kids taken away, and they've reconnected them. They've reestablished those relationships. So another great ministry coming up is now Birthright. Now, some of you may or may not be familiar with Birthright. Well, Birthright is a nonprofit organization that has been providing love and support for 45 years. Now, Amherst Christian Church has not been involved for that long, but it has been involved for quite some time. And their focus is on helping women who may be pregnant, or think they're pregnant, or are pregnant. Not unlike New Life. There are some similarities there, but they help them get established. They help them break chains, deliverance, but also their additional focus, as equally important, is on fighting abortion. And that's something we need to strongly consider and want to help out with. The abortion, the children being aborted, that's our future generation. That's the generation. That's the people that are going to take over when you and I are long gone. They need to be trained. They need to be raised up. So this is another organization that Amherst Christian Church has been involved with, serve alongside, to help build up the community, to help build up our future leaders. Now, we also have some new opportunities that have presented itself. One of them being the Boys and Girls Club in Milford. It is a new opportunity to open it up when we can become a mentor. Proverbs 22:6 tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it. As we were just talking about with the abortion, these are our future leaders, both in the church and in the community. We need to help build them up, to mentor them, to teach them, to train them, to be able to do the work that the Lord's called them to do. Lay a foundation, spiritually and naturally, and help them reach their full potential. Now, I'm not negating the distance piece, the traveling, because we also have those opportunities. Amherst Christian Church is also affiliated with Foursquare, and they have an international missions program. Well, you can see on the slide is the countries that they are involved in. They do also have a U.S.-based thing, but out internationally, they are over 4,000, I think it's 4,500 times larger internationally than they are inside the United States. Now, what you're seeing here on this slide, which is categorized by the countries in blue, the darker the blue color country, is the more focus or the greater impact they have in that nation. But what's not up there is some of the other countries that they are involved in, because these are nations that there is persecution that's happening. So to protect some of them, they don't show everything. But they are involved in 144 countries. They have over 100 full-time dedicated missionaries. And you can see on the slide the impact that they have had globally. This piece here, partnering with Foursquare Missions, allows us, and we have contributed, you know, financially as well. So, as Pastor Ron was talking about, there is that global impact, which was also in the vision, both from Eugene May, but all, you know, prior with this assembly. But what's there is we can also now be involved in that. There's training and opportunities that we can grasp and we can go and be a part of and actually carry that to the community, but also to the other nations, to the globe, as was in the Eugene May prophecy. But then also, Foursquare has a disaster relief program or aspect of their organization, where over the years, and what you see is all the number of, and this is not all-inclusive, responses. These are some of the major local, both national and international events that they have been a part of. Whether it's relief from the earthquakes in Haiti in 2010, you had the shootings last year, other earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, Turkey, I mean, across the globe. If there's a world event, they are able to be a part of it, to provide impact and comfort for the people. And a lot of that stems from their missional outreach program. And we can see here, just in this past year, and we'll just take some of the local, national ones. You have relief efforts in Houston and in Puerto Rico. You have relief efforts in California, both with the wildfires, and currently they are also assisting with the landslide victims and their homes. And as I mentioned, there is also the Vegas shooting. They've been involved with that, providing everything from counseling and food. They partner and are integrated with organizations like FEMA to help be first responders and help people on the ground. So these are all opportunities that we have. Have we donated to these organizations on a monetary aspect? Yes. But we have the opportunity now to be more hands-on, to get outside from just these four walls and impact both the community locally, but also the globe. As we're talking about impacting the local community, as most of you are probably aware, there is the radio station above this church, New Hampshire Family Radio, which the focus there is to support and promote the gospel, to bring Christ to the nations, proclaim the gospel as part of the Great Commission. But they also focus on family, faith, and freedom. Accurate information geared towards a faith-based, the believer mindset, Christians, and what impacts us both here and abroad. So that's just one aspect. You know, some people have heard the church referred to as the lighthouse or the beacon, and others as a bridge where there's coming and going. But this church, Amherst Christian Church, is special in that it has the opportunity to be both the beacon and the bridge, where people can stand out in the darkness. But people can also come to it to be trained, to be equipped, and then sent out to conduct ministry. So as we get to the next topic, which is ministry. It says, the Lord has given each one of us unique skills, talents, gifts, and abilities, both natural and spiritual. But it is the believers, it is our responsibility to seek the Lord and to have our gifts identified, but then also to find creative ways of utilizing time, talents, and gifts in the sphere of influence, in the network, the people we know, the relationships that we have, that the Lord has placed in our life. So I know we just talked about the national and international aspect here, but I'm going to bring it back in. There are ministry opportunities. And we're going to start here locally, within these four walls. The ministry opportunities must be to the body and to God's facility. And that's everything from, I mean, you can see the list up on the board. Nehemiah 10:39 states to us, we must not neglect the house of our God. And Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking our own assembly together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yes, we need to be in the community. And if you look at Pastor's slides for Sunday morning, there was that one slide where there was the 4% huddled in the corner. Well, what happens, and I'm not taking away from that, that's needed. It's needed so that there can be a training and equipping. It's a safe place that we can go to for fellowship. And as the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. We need to sharpen each other. So that way we can go out into the world, be rejuvenated by each other, be encouraged, edified, built up, and carry that into the community. And it's not just about the people that get to come up here and speak, whether that's for the offering or whatever. There's a difference between a ministry and a job. And one of the life groups that we were at, that was one of our discussions, was about the difference between ministry and a job. And in a job, it's about self. It's about, I have to do this because I need X, whether that's a paycheck or whatever the case is, so that you can then, in turn, do different things. But a ministry is something outside yourself. It has nothing to do with you. It's for other people. The word says, are we not all ministering spirits? We have a ministry to do. So whether that's the people up in the front, or that's what the natural people would say, oh, it's a menial task. Cleaning, vacuuming, doing the toilets, doing the coffee ministry. They're all necessary functions to then in turn draw people here so they can be trained, they can be equipped. So up on this screen is a list of ministry opportunities and needs that are here for this facility. I won't say God's house, because you are God's house. You are God's temple. He lives and dwells in you. But this building has been dedicated, this land, this everything, when it was purchased and before it was built and rededicated after it was established, was sanctified and set apart for the Lord for his use, for the training and equipping of the saints, so that we can then conduct the ministry that he's called us to do. So up on this list are those areas for ministry opportunities here, and the respective persons that you should contact if you are interested or feel called and want to use your God-given gifts and skills to help with that. But then there's also ministry opportunities in the community, and we just ran through a few of those, a brief overview of those. So, because it's not just about, we need to be the light and the salt. And it's not just about hoarding that here and hiding it under the four walls or the bushel, which is this building. It needs to be taken out into the community. So these are those opportunities, as we discussed, with the respective points of contact, if you are interested in being involved there as well. So at this point, I am going to turn it over to both Pastors Ron and Derry, so they can discuss the equipping aspect. Thank you.
So basically, if we look at the book of Ephesians, that in the study in itself basically is the concept that we have to create. Now here's the thing. When we realized what we needed to do, or I did, and we sat down with our leadership in the church, and I mean a broader base of our leadership, it was obvious that the task that God had called us to was impossible. And so you might say, how do you start out on something that you know you can't do? Well, that's the whole point in what we're building here. We can't do it without God. It has to be a situation where we continually walk in faith and trust Him. It's not going to be a model that just works. It's got to be a relationship with the living God, with us individually, and with one another. And Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man in the measure and the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. Notice that the goal here is the Christ-likeness, and at the same time it is, if you look at it very carefully, that it is the church that is building itself up. That's those dots out there in the community. That's what it is. And Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so our goal is a church that grows all by itself. That's the goal. If God's people get closer to God and basically begin to, under the influence of the Holy Spirit and direction of Him, it happens. I can't do it. You can't do it. But together with God, all things are possible. Amen. And that's what we're set to our hand to. We're set to what God is doing in the world today. We're not backing off from that. We're not going to quit because we can put in staff and we can do this and we can do that and we can run it like a business. This is not a business. This is a living organism. It's called the church. Okay. So now we come down here, and I'd like to bring Conrad and Dolly up here with me for just a moment. We can talk about courses, seminars, and fellowship. And if you want, you can stay there for a moment, but that's okay. But The reason Conrad's looking at me strange is I forgot to tell him this. But but Conrad has done most of the work on the Divine Healing Seminars and done a number of the seminars that we conduct. He will continue with Dolly to do that. We have coming up here, as you can see, the courses and seminars that are going to be taking place. Prayer, obviously. Divine Healing Seminar, Prayer and Ministry Teams. You can tell us what praying in the Yes of God is. Well,
with all these different courses and seminars that we have listed here, we are just trying to offer a variety of things to help, again, equip you to minister. Praying in the Yes of God, how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how to pray effectively. But there are a lot of different aspects where we can take that prayer and our prayer work and walk together, whether it's our prayer time before services, prayer walking the areas, numerous ideas. In fact, we had an addition to the list that you saw up there earlier where we had shut-ins. That was something God just put on my heart the other night, and I said, you know, just put my name by it. But it's something that we need, so many of us are on our own going out and visiting some of our people
Lois,
that are home.
Lois Vlad for one, that's an example.
And that's something that we can make sure that our people are visited. And if we can't visit them, that we send them cards. And, you know, I was thinking of Dolly's mom. It's been so long since we've seen her. And, You know, has she gotten any cards from us? Has she gotten any visits from us? So it's a ministry that needs to be built up, where it's not going to take a lot of energy and effort on your part, but it's maybe something that you can just work into your day. So anyway, going on here on the list, what we want to do is, you know, the Lord says that as his disciples, we're to do what he did. That means we're to heal the sick, we're to deliver people from the bondages they're under. And you know what? None of us have wings and a halo yet. We're all broken, and we all need healing in different areas of our life, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional. And so to provide some opportunities to have addictions broken off, to have our wounds healed, to be set free from those things that are holding us back from being everything God wants us to be, to develop a more effective prayer life, to deal with our grief or our forgiveness issues. All those things are areas we need to grow in, and some more than others. And those are the type of opportunities that we want to present for you in the courses and seminars. Then on our next slide, it's talking about relationship again. And although the things I've just mentioned are about relationship, this is really on the one-on-one in your family, in your homes, your families, with your children, with your spouse, if you're living alone, with those that are in your apartment building, the people you work with, as Jesus' disciples, sharing his love. We need to be effective in speaking every kind of language of love that reaches different hearts. And we should be fluent in those languages so that we have an opportunity to reach people where they can be heard, where they can hear us. So all of our relationship starts with Jesus. We have to know how to have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. I don't care how well you know your Bible. I don't care what kind of a theologian you are. If you don't apply it, if Jesus isn't part of you, if you don't have a relationship, then everything else you do is not going to be effective for the kingdom. We need his love and his forgiveness continually flowing through us. Okay, then the missional outreach that we've been doing here. We've been having the Living Stones. Did you want to?
Well, Living Stones is a lot more than what it seems to be, and that is a dinner and a small group. That whole ministry is designed so that you will get to meet the various leaders within the church, and we get to meet you. Also, that we might in those groups begin to see the people that basically have a hunger for the Lord, a desire for him, and that we can work with them and encourage them separately and bring them along a little bit faster. The other thing is that it's intended also as an outreach, an opportunity to invite people out for dinner on that day. Bring them in and be part of what we're doing here. And I'll say this a couple of times. I kind of missed it in the presentation. The idea is when you're part of this spiritual community, and wherever you go, that's where Amherst Christian Church is. That's where Jesus is. That's where Amherst Christian Church is. Everybody wants to put their name on something and get rewarded because this is my ministry. No, no, no. This is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically, I was even thinking about having cards printed up so when you're witnessing to somebody or helping them out or help the old lady across the street, even if she doesn't want to cross the street, you can give them a card and say, you're invited to Amherst Christian Church. Somebody there will bring you back across the next day, whatever it may take. So the whole point is where you go, the church goes. You are the church. And we keep looking to see the whole thing is everybody wants to put the burden on the pastor. And everybody wants to define the pastor's role. You know why you want to do that? You've been trained that way. The second reason is that basically that takes responsibility away from you. You are God's minister in this world. You are the person he has put here to make this world better, beginning with your marriage, beginning with your family, your children, beginning with all those relationships you are put into. That's how it works. That's what the Bible teaches. We have a different form because we have an escape clause that we want to have to escape what we need to do. So we have these courses and seminars and Living Stones. One of the things for that, life groups are important. Then we have discipleship groups. Why a life group? Life group, we get to talk, we get to know one another, we grow together. And why the discipleship group? Because in that group of four people or less, We really can find out what's going on. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to have a guy sitting in the life group say, you know, fellows or ladies, gentlemen, I got a problem with pornography. He's not going to say that in that group. But if he's with three other guys, he'll say it. Once he knows to trust them and gets there. He's not going to say, I'm with his wife there, I'm having problems with my wife. But he might say, I'm having problems with my kid or with my wife in that other group. That's where we pray. That's where it stays in that group. So the bottom line is, that's how we encourage, build, and move forward. You've got to have transparency. You've got to have trust. You've got to have faith. You've got to have relationship.
So the bottom line is, none of us are perfect, and none of us are going to have those rough edges chiseled off until we're willing to admit we have them and have accountability with one another and learn to build up the transformation process with Jesus as we're praying for one another and supporting each other. And which reminds me of another group. Some of you may not know your spiritual gifting, and so that's another thing we want to help you do is find your spiritual gifting.
And just for the record here, we want to help you with parenting courses, healthy families, marriage education, all of those things. And you know what? A parenting course, just so you know, it's a grandparent course too. Because sometimes parents are doing a lousy job. Grandma and grandpa can come in there and kind of get some things straightened out nice in relationship with the kids. Let's move on here. So we have the life groups, the Living Stones, life groups, discipleship groups. And then we have here pastoral counseling. Okay, so Dr. Derry in this particular case, who does this professionally and does a great job. The kind of testimonies I get every week are amazing. But basically, tell them what you're going to do.
I just want you to know that, and you know me, I'm kind of the kick off your shoes, your make yourself at home type person. I don't need to be acknowledged as Dr. Derry. I'm Derry to you. I'm part of our family. But the gifting that God has given me that I use elsewhere is available, that if you need any short-term counseling or help, feel free to ask me. I'm here for you, and anything we talk about stays with us, and it won't be shared with anyone. God equipped me because he called me to do a certain work, and whatever that equipping and ability I have, I offer to us. So a lot of the things here, and it'll only be short-term counseling. I'm not going to do any long-term counseling with you, but I can help you through some of those particular problems or issue maybe that you're going through. And things that I work with a lot out in the world are people that have addictive behaviors, people that are dealing with grief and loss issues, people that are struggling with forgiveness issues that is really affecting their life and changing their quality of life, because they can't let go of things that they've been through, and emotional heartaches. So God has gifted me to be able to write a couple of books that address some of the issues for people that are going through illnesses and end-of-life issues. And the book, Heaven Touches Earth, God has in 12 different countries now. It's being used as a teaching resource. I wish, you know, there's even just one page out of the book that had I known some of our people were going through some of the struggles, I would have, you know, just said, please, just if you look at this page, it's going to help you over the next days and weeks. So just please know that you can ask me anything, and if I know, I'll tell you, and if I don't, I'll tell you that too.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So she's the broken heart person. You want to get the broken heart healed. That's not the only one here that can do that, by the way. But she's got a very good gift in it. And finally, in the last slide that we have here, we call it visitor to member. How do you become a member of Amherst Christian Church? Well, we've tried covenant memberships and a bunch of things, but let me just say this to you. It's relational. It's about being part of the body, being together with other people, building relationships within, with the Lord, continuing in that relationship with the Lord, growing that, grow one another. And you'll notice here, for the body is not one member but many. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You are who you are because God made you that way, and he placed you here. And then he goes on to say, but now there are many members but one body. It's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be the weakest are necessary. Some people just think, well, I don't have any gift. Of course you do. Of course you have value. Of course you are needed. And you know, that's something that I have, take me years to learn that, because like anybody else, when you're building the church, you look at, well, we can just keep people. They can do this, they can do that. Hey, you know what? That missed it completely. It was arrogance and it was pride. And the fact of the matter is that I overlooked some of the best people that we had because they didn't look like they were upfront, quote, people, or they were the doers. And the fact is, you're all doers. You all got a gift. So again, here we go. Those members of the body we deem less honorable. On these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, that members may have the same care for one another. God sees you the same. And we have to learn how to see each other as the same value, but unique individuals that God has placed in our midst. So again, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Just remember this, wherever you serve, whatever group you're in, when you're outside this church, Amherst Christian Church is out there. That's how you have to begin to see this. If you're out there, you are a representative of this spiritual community wherever you go. But most importantly, you're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. So show yourself strong and show the love of the Lord wherever you go with gusto, with exuberance, and with joy. May God bless you today and prosper you today in Jesus' name. And thank you. We certainly went over today, but I think we need to hear this from time to time. God bless you and be on your way. Amen. So let's stand together. Heavenly Father, there's still coffee out there, unless one of the kids got out there and drank it all up. That's all I know. You know, we got to hide it sometimes. But Heavenly Father, just thank you for your love for us today. We ask you to bless us, Father, to be with us as we go out this way, walking out this way. Remember that the church now is walking out the door. And we're leaving an empty building here, just a place of assembly. But we are the church. Each member, individually, a part of his body, in relationship with one another. And we, Father, I just ask you to encourage each and every person to do what they can to be part of a small group. And then, Father, to make that other step, to be in a discipleship group, whether it's once a month, or once every 2 weeks or once a week, however, whatever they need. But we ask you, Father, to bless us, to encourage us, to build us. That, Father, that you'd look down and you'd have that pleasure in us. You'd smile on us. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for everything you've done for us. And we're proud and we're honored to be called the children of God. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Coffee. Fellowship, friendship, let's do it.